Morning, you have the Bulletin Bay CCTV.
A microscopic bag being planted in a person's body to track his every movement. There's actual discussion about that. You will rule on that, mark my words, before your tenure is over.
We must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence by the military-industrial complex.
I really do wonder sometimes what we're becoming in this country.
It's not left. It's not right. It's the state versus you. Alex Ansari, Outside the Box.
Welcome to Outside the Box. I'm Alex Ansari, coming to you live from Portland, Oregon. In the very, very last weeks of November 2006, that is November 27th, 2006. Glad to be with you all this afternoon. Feel free to give me a call if you're feeling like talking today about any subject on your mind at 1-800-313-9443. We're going to be talking about a number of things this afternoon. I hope everyone out there, for one, had an excellent Thanksgiving. I did want to point out, however, though, that for me, Thanksgiving is just what Thanksgiving really, really is. And that is a holiday. That is a day off. If you are fortunate enough to get to have a day off on Thanksgiving instead of cooking all day on Thanksgiving. I think there's one thing that, you know, I just want to emphasize and kind of highlight in terms of this holiday. And that it is, of course, a man-made holiday. Christ did not die. Christ was not born on Thanksgiving, nor any other religious leader that I know of. In fact, the whole concept of the holiday itself, deemed by many, is a total farce. The idea that we came and we brought something to the Native Americans. So we commemorate this wonderful day of our own little Americanized communion. No, this is what Thanksgiving is. Thanksgiving is a day off. A day off where it's recognized, and you may be able to get that time off to do something you normally don't get to do because you're a slave the rest of the year. Because that's what we do now. That's the real America of the new age. We work all the time, sometimes two jobs, sometimes three jobs. Thanksgiving is a day off. Let's keep things in perspective. And in terms of family, those of you fortunate to have families or wives and stuff like that, every day is a day to be with your family. Not just when the rest of the system or the rest of the collective hive mind tells us that's the certain day of the year, that we do it all together to be with our family. That can come in August. That should be there anyway. In June. That should even be included in March. And the rest of the 8 other months that I haven't even mentioned. To be with your family, or for that matter, Christmas, to believe in God, or think about your prophet, Jesus Christ, for those that is, for those that not, regardless. My point is this. There shouldn't have to be a certain day that we feel or think about a certain thing. And I think when we see this holiday season coming up, many of you really understand what it's really about as projected through the TV. And that's buying slave goods. That's buying goods from China. To be with your family and to be with your Messiah, the Jesus Christ, the book of Revelations, the book of the Bible. If you believe in all those things, you don't need Christmas or shopping or Macy's or the mall, any of that, to bring that forth. But we are collectively kind of boxed into this collective type of thinking that to be accepted by our family, not all of our families think this way, not all are brainwashed, but some are, that the best son or the best relative is the one who gets them the best gift. So we see it's not about the communication, it is about the so-called power of the almighty dollar. And what material wealth, supposedly, an accumulation is going to bring us. It won't bring us anything. Well, we'll get more into that in the next break. Give me a call at 1-800-313-9443. Now, picked up the thought that I was just on pertaining to shopping and the Christmas season. I'm going to do a little shopping this year, but I always feel that it's a chore. It's not something I really want to do, and I don't really feel that I'm more connected with my family last year or the year before, because we're not very connected. I don't have much of a family. In terms of my relationship with my mother and my father, it has not come down to gifts. It comes down to our conversations over the telephone, and if there are any. And I talk to my dad about once a year over the phone. The last conversation was very negative, his opinion of this show. My mom's opinion of the whole thing is it's very strange for her as well. So it's tough to be me dealing with them. So I'm also approaching this from my experience. But I believe most of all, Christmas, Thanksgiving, other holidays, if you believe in the family, as I do, even though I don't have one, at some point in time I would like to have one, create one of my own, is that comes first. The shopping doesn't come first. The material wealth, so someone will like you better, doesn't come first. And you can actually take the same philosophy of what's really important and utilize that in relationships as well. One headline that we're going to go through at the moment: shoppers look to the United States as $2 pound nears. So now we have this ratio. It takes $2 to get 1 pound. And so they're coming here, and flights to New York are up a fifth, the Guardian notes. And there are also a number of other United States destinations. I'm sure Los Angeles is another popular one. And you can look at this as a good thing. Look at all these Europeans and foreigners with more money coming here to spend it. But is that the direction that we're also trying to move collectively as a country, where the richer tourists come from somewhere else and spend their money here, while we here at home in the United States have a tougher time getting on a plane and going shopping to other countries the way we used to? Or I should rephrase for the younger members of the audience, our parents used to, when they go to Mexico and whatnot, when there was more money to do things like that. On the topic of a lack of abundance by control, it has also been reported yesterday from the AP that the Iraq War has now lasted longer than World War II. Believe it or not, it is a fact. As of Sunday, the conflict in Iraq has raged for 3 years and just over 8 months. Only the Vietnam War and the Revolutionary War and the Civil War have engaged America longer. The Vietnam War lasted 8 years, 5 months. The Revolutionary War, according to the AP, lasted 6 years, 9 months. I would say we still are involved within the new Revolutionary War. Whether they choose to cover that or not is a separate issue entirely. And then, of course, the Civil War lasted 4 years. Fighting in Afghanistan, which may or may not be full-fledged war, depending on who is keeping track, has gone on for 5 years, 1 month. It continues as the ousted, so they say, there is a lot more communication with the Taliban, with our army and NATO as well. Bush says he is still undecided whether to start bringing U.S. troops home from Iraq or add to the 140,000 there already. And it's good and comfort in my own heart to know that he is undecided about everything, including this plan. Just more cannon fodder for our thesis, for our hypothesis. Some would say conspiracy theory, yet it's a fact, that this man is pulling no strings and is making no decisions. He is waiting for someone else to give him the commands. Now, here's a report from AlJazeera.net. A ceasefire between Israeli and Palestinian fighters in Gaza has held, so they say, despite a rocket attack on an Israeli town just hours after the truce began. Islamic Jihad earlier claimed responsibility for firing several rockets into Israel. They said it would not agree to ceasefire unless Israeli military activity also ended in the occupied West Bank. Israel later pledged restraint, and after public backing of the truce by Hamas and Fatah, the attacks halted during Sunday afternoon. Thousands of Palestinian security officers have taken up positions across northern Gaza in an attempt to prevent fighters from launching more raids upon Israel. At this moment, I want to cover some of the more diabolical recent elements concerning the all-encompassing police state. We see the victims of police brutality, excessive use of force, by the day, so it seems, at many times. Reading this information, that the victims are becoming, yes, they are victims, they're not suspects in every case, they are victims becoming younger and younger. Now, in this next report, I will note that the youngster who was murdered by police, who was 13 years old recently, was committing a crime. However, our society has become an increasingly violent one, and it is one thing to defend yourself by firearm from a violent thug. It is another to read another report, get another report about another police officer murdering a 13-year-old in the streets. Now, this particular incident happened to take place in St. Louis, Missouri, where they shot and wounded a 13-year-old boy who officers said pointed a toy revolver at them after he and other youths were caught in a stolen truck. Stolen truck. There we are. Already starting life off in the right direction. This is also a separate issue about the rise in crime and the lifestyle that many youths, as they refer to them, they are the children of this nation. They are the future of tomorrow. Yet, I would like to see more people address why there is so much crime still to this day. Is it an epidemic, perhaps, of the mind? Should we perhaps track and trace all 13-year-old boys to make sure this does not happen again? I don't think that's the answer, but then again, neither is the answer of wounding the 13-year-old boy who had a toy gun. Now, fortunately, this young man did not die, as I just assumed from reading the headline, as we read about so many times. But how many people really stop to ask themselves, how often are stories like this actually going on, happening in our society? You know what the naysayer will tell you, the supposed, alleged skeptic, the one who says they're a skeptic at heart but really aren't, is that situations like this aren't happening as often as we think they are, and in fact, we go out and we seek out this information, and we blow things up out of proportion. When if you examine and you contemplate how life is in your local town between the citizen and the police officer, by the way, they are civilians, not military personnel, although it doesn't always seem to be that way, but it's true. And posse comitatus technically is still the law. But the fact is this, you know what the truth is in your own heart. I'm going to go through another report from the Associated Press about another police state issue in New York City. But when you read about this and you hear about the last story I read about the young criminal, a 13-year-old, already entering the system and learning how to interact with the local enforcer by getting shot at, yes, he's definitely going to have more incentive at this stage in the game in his young life to go the right route. He's probably going to live with anger if he does survive completely through this attack. And if he goes to jail and he goes to prison, the way our system, as I've talked about for so long on previous broadcasts, within the prison system as a whole, whether you look at the state of Texas, or you look at the state of California, or you look at the state of New York, even Oregon's getting worse, at the lifestyle that nonviolent offenders experience within prison, they learn how to become, out of necessity for their own survival, I must add, they learn how to become more violent thugs. And that is the truth about the real education you get in prison. We don't just walk into prison and go, you know what, it's time that I got my GED. Not everyone has that ability, or to the next level, even more importantly, a college education. It's that mentality of treating someone like a dog. Well, of course, they wanted to come here. They committed the crime, they must pay. Well, with that psychology and with that old world, old way of looking at things, well, as Einstein said, insanity is the process of doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting different results. And the way the police act with the citizenry, the civilians, which we all are, even the police, is adding to the problem. It's not making it better. It's making it worse. Now, recently, an angry crowd in New York City screamed over and over, quote, no justice, no peace. Some called for the city's police commissioner to step down. Many counted off to 50 the number of rounds that are estimated to have been fired by police of three unarmed men, killing one on his wedding day. Now, several hundred people gathered Sunday for a vigil to rally to demand answers about why officers let a flurry of bullets at 23-year-old Sean Bell early Saturday, hours before he was supposed to marry the mother of his two young children. The five officers were placed on paid administrative leave and stripped of their guns, said the chief spokesman for the NYPD. Police and prosecutors promised a full investigation, but none of that stemmed the fury of a community outraged by the shootings. Even the Reverend Al Sharpton was there saying, quote, we cannot allow this to happen. We've got to understand that all of us, I actually like this quote, we've got to understand that all of us were in that car. Kelly, the police commissioner, Raymond Kelly that is, had said the police shot at the car after it drove forward and struck an undercover officer in an unmarked police minivan. The eyewitness reports are completely contrary to his report. What it comes down to, in all cases, is who are the courts going to believe, the citizen or the cop? We'll be right back. Now, before I get to the rest of the creme de la creme, outside the box, prime choice news headlines of the week, I want to make sure I get through our top story, of course, for this broadcast. Recently, there were a couple of assassinations that made the world headlines. Of course, you have the cabinet minister and Christian leader in Lebanon who was murdered. The number one question to ask before jumping to conclusions in each one of these cases, number one, first and foremost, is cui bono, who benefits? As they asked in Rome, ask now. And what I'm going to go through is a report that I think is worth reading that I found off the Raw story. And the Raw story has a lot of documented information, pieces of information about not only the CIA, the NSA, but different elements of the shadow government within our government and within, of course, the European government. They have a lot of great editors working over there, and the number one question that they are asking is, was the Russian journalist that was murdered recently, an ex-KGB officer murdered, were they murdered over the investigation of the Beslan terror attack? Now, former KGB officer Alexander, excuse me if I pronounce this wrong, Litvinenko, who passed away late last week from what many intelligence officials have indicated they believe to be state-sponsored assassination, what that was likely the victim of a Russian Foreign Intelligence Service, their own special intelligence agency. This is what a source has told the Raw story. Specifically, two former Cold War CIA officers, who still on occasion provide consulting work for the CIA, point to the directed of SVR, which is in charge of black operations and other allegedly highly illegal transnational activities. They believe that the murders are closely tied to terror activities within Russia and likely do involve Vladimir Putin. Now, the spy who recently was murdered died of radiation poisoning from a rare and highly concentrated form of plinolium-210. Very scary sounding indeed. It is alleged that prior to the poisoning, he had been receiver of documents, secret documents, that were also in the possession of Russian journalist Anna Politkovsky. When she was found dead of multiple gunshot wounds in her Moscow apartment, October last month. Now, one former high-ranking officer told Raw Story quote, they put a contract out on her, and there was already a failed poisoning attempt. The source explains that they had her shot in order to send a message to other Russian journalists to back off reporting on the Russian bombings. This editorial goes on. Although none of the sources interviewed for this article were able to say too much regarding what is an ongoing investigation into the two murders, several foreign intelligence sources pointed to alleged false flag bombings, there's that term again, false flag bombings, that were carried out in Russia starting in 1999. So the question is, what was Anna Politkovskaya working on, and who killed the other spy recently poisoned by plutonium-210? I mean, we're talking about criminals here. We're not just talking about the United States. I can't stop cringing how many times people think why things are happening the way they are is it's only the result of one man being Bush. A secondary thing that they believe in a lie about Bush, not only that it's about him, but number two, that he's pulling the strings. Now, we have a couple other police state articles that we need to go through before I get to some more very important pieces of information for you in the next segment. But here, something even more alarming. DNA of suspects' families are going to be held on police files. In short, we have been talking about how the European Union, how the United Kingdom, our brethren in Britain, have been experiencing the surveillance society a good four or five, in some cases a decade, ahead of us in terms of the technological sophistication. Now, people that are suspects of a crime, their relatives also are going to have their DNA taken. Now, whatever happened, until innocent and proven guilty, guilty until proven innocent has become the new mantra on an international level. Now, how far is this going to go, and how long is it going to be till we hear about DNA of relatives of suspects having it taken, put in a database? When and how long is it going to be before we hear about people trying to do that here? So DNA is king. Those of you that are interested in learning more about surveillance in terms of social engineering as well, and of course the all-encompassing police state, DNA, investigating that, what they're doing with that is key. Because in another report that I went over last week, they are learning more about DNA than they ever knew before, including how to manipulate it, the connection to eugenics, and of course, the remolding, the reforming of the human body. All of this is collected, and you could trace it all the way back up to the elite. And I believe that is the real reason they want your DNA. More information, more news that you can trust to the break. Be right back. Welcome back. I'm going to be going through a lot of issues over the course of the next 20 minutes. You can call in if you like. I do want to remind you, if you would like to donate to Outside the Box, you can do that by going to alexhansering.com. If you donate $1 for every 2 weeks that you listen to this program, each one of you, it could help me provide some more bandwidth so I can add some more things to the website for your viewing pleasure, and that would be appreciated. Also, go to rbnlive.com. The network you are listening to right now is still on a pledge drive as well. If you'd like to contribute to that network, you can write them at 1015 South Mays Street. I believe that is South Mays Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664, or call them at 1-800-724-2719. One of the articles that really caught my eye last week, fascinating. I must admit to you, I'm fascinated. There are some European cities that are doing away with traffic signs. European traffic planners are dreaming of streets free of rules and directives. They want drivers and pedestrians to interact in a free and humane way, as brethren, by means of friendly gestures, nods of the head, and eye contact, without the harassment of prohibitions, restrictions, and warning signs. Again, the headline for this is European cities do away with traffic signs. Google it. Very interesting indeed. They call it a utopia, which has already become a reality in the Dutch province of Western Frisia. A sign by the entrance to the small town, only has a population of 1,000 people, reads something in Dutch that translates to free of traffic signs. Now, one of the reasons that they are choosing to do this, for one thing, psychologists have long revealed the senselessness of such exaggerated regulation. About 70% of traffic signs are ignored by drivers and travelers. What's more, the glut of prohibitions is like treating the driver like a child. It also foments resentment. He may stop in front of the crosswalk, but that only makes him feel justified in preventing pedestrians from crossing the street on every other occasion. Every traffic light baits him with the promise of making it over the crossing while the light is still yellow. All of this according to leading psychologists. Now, I agree. This is really interesting. It goes on. The new traffic models advocates believe the only way out of this vicious cycle is to give drivers more liberty and encourage them to take responsibility for themselves. They demand streets like those during the Middle Ages, with horse-drawn chariots, hand carts, and people scurrying about in a completely unregulated fashion. Now, it may sound like chaos, but this could work, my friends. This could work. If enough people learn to rewire their mind to become alert of their immediate surroundings and stop, for one thing, driving like maniacs, which they do in my neck of the woods. People drive crazier here than they do in Europe, that's true. So I don't know whether that would work here or not, or the drug regulation. But all of these things, this irresponsibility that we see our own fellow Americans doing, not only with the health choices, but the way they drive, it seems that many people scream for more regulation. When in reality, what we really want in this country is more freedom. That's why we came here. So I thought. So what we need to see is more people take responsibility for their own safety, for one thing, so no one feels the need to keep them safe from themselves, like the police. So their rhetoric doesn't work anymore. Do you see what I'm saying? Do you see what I'm saying? The more you begin, we, as a society, to take responsibility for our own actions, whether it be with traffic or with our marital issues, etc., the way we parent our children, the less their propaganda about needing to protect us from ourselves, the more that lie will turn out to be the sugar pedestal that it really is, and crumble before all of our very eyes. The whole idea of giving you more freedom, at the same time providing you with more responsibility, which you must accept. In accepting your freedom, there isn't one without the other. Wrong. You must accept the responsibility for mandating, maintaining, observing, tracking, tracing for yourself your own life without a government or other social service agency as a middleman. Now, can I, for that matter, imagine what this utopia would look like, what it would feel like without that oppressive behavior on the part of the government? That is not the government of the people, the government of the fascist bureaucracy. The one that's taken over from within, mind you. Which leads me to my next article. Not article, but area of discussion. In terms of taking back responsibility for our own actions and understanding how the police state is really structured today, there's a link on my website, alexhansreid.com, that is entitled The Citizen's Guide to Surviving a Police Encounter. It is put out by the ACLU. I haven't agreed with everything the ACLU has stood for, because they have minimized some civil liberty issues. However, this film is, it's a must-see. It explains to you, to a T, where your rights are. If you're pulled over, to a T, to what you can and cannot say. Most of all, the number one thing people forget is the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment stating that you have the right to be secure in your home, persons, whatever. I would think that includes your car as well. And so that doesn't mean you have to exit it every single time a cop pulls you over and let them search your car. The number big thing is the Fifth Amendment. Your right to keep your trap shut. A lot of us should keep our trap shut. Otherwise, we can sometimes incriminate ourselves. The police officer asks, "Do you know why I pulled you over?" And the film talks about the first thing when you roll down the window is to ask the officer, "Why was I pulled over?" And to reiterate, whether you have marijuana or something questionable on your possession or not, it still is a task on the part of the officer to go back and get the dogs, to go back and get the other police units to search your vehicle. The number one thing is to make sure that you understand what your rights are, and that is you can't keep your mouth shut. And what you say will be used against you in the court of law. So don't use your Fifth Amendment too much. The best thing is to keep your mouth shut in that situation. The reason I brought that up in conjunction with this free society that I was just speaking of. What would a free society look like without checkpoints, without these traffic stops? It would be much, much different. And that is why I am saying over and over and over that what we are experiencing right now is not more freedom, it's less freedom. Here's one of the questions that I want to address towards the audience. When you are pulled over in this traffic stop, as the situations are depicted in the film, when you're with your girlfriend, most of all, or when you're with another woman you love, like your wife, for example, how does it feel as a man to have to get out of the car with your wife or your girlfriend if you are at the mercy of an abusive police officer that is a civilian, a citizen of the United States just like you, who supposedly is there to protect and serve? Well, many of them are not there to protect and serve. They actually are sales associates and other titles of a corporation that makes money off of enslaving you, off of taxing you, off of pulling you over. It's the underground economy that no one really talks about. Yet it's not underground, it's as mainstream as apple pie, because it happens every day. But how does it feel to be a man and see people you care about, see people you love, get pulled over, asked by the police? Have any of you out there listening to this program been in that situation where someone you cared about was being beaten by the police? And even if those things haven't happened, it still brings chills and drives them through my skull and back down the end of my spine to think about our vulnerability and how, when that happens, you as a man are castrated metaphorically. Young men listening to this program right now in their 20s aren't living the same lifestyle, and sometimes this is good, sometimes it is not so much for the better, as say their family did, or their parents did, or their grandparents did 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, in terms of your free flow of mobility to get on a freeway and go from point A to point B, because travel is key. And, of course, the right to bear arms is key. The right to have a family and love your woman without governmental interference, if they were to pull you over and harass one of you, is key. If one person's going to jail and the other person says, "Let me give my husband or let me give my wife a hug before they go away, even though they shouldn't be going away in the first place, let me hug them." No, no hugs here. You really understand how police are conditioned to interact with their fellow citizens. And you will understand, we are not only being groomed to be the slaves, they are being groomed to be the masters, or at least act like our masters, play the part of the masters. But the truth is, those police officers out there that treat you like scum, what they don't understand is the fact that they are slaves as well. I have never taken the time to bash the military as a whole on this program. I have not done that. Or people that have... But I am very blunt, my friends, at how I feel about how they treat you in the military. I have never talked beyond the fact that once you sign that paper to be a Marine, just like being a cop, in a way you are signing off your own freedom to be a freaking human being and have feelings. Because those are the things, having feelings, caring about other people, having a conscience, being religious, believing in God, not agreeing to just kill someone. All of those elements, those same moral elements that many of us is the very soul and fabric of what it means to be a human being. Those are the things that must be stripped away in the armed forces. You have to understand that. Those things have to go. Your ability to love someone, to defend someone from being oppressed, deep down inside you, it has to go to work in the armed services, the armed forces, at the highest levels especially. We are fighting the wrong war. We are the bad guys. And to be out there, whether you are A, working the beat with your partner in South Central Los Angeles, worrying about getting gunned down by Crips and Bloods, you may feel more justified in bringing a sub-automatic machine gun to every house that you illegally search. I speak to those that think they're cops, or are cops, or are rent-a-cops, that believe that it's okay for houses and people living inside homes to have their doors kicked in because everything's dangerous. It's not much different than the troop who kicks down the doors in the houses in Iraq or Afghanistan. It's this idea of entitlement, of being better than, of being the protector, this psychology that engulfs the mind of A, the cop, B, the military warrior, which there is a merging of both of these elements, cop here at home, military personnel over there. What does it look like when you combine those two together? You find the same elements within them both. No real regard for what the U.S. Bill of Rights is, or the Constitution, or posse comitatus, but you have this cult-like attachment to the fear, the figurehead, on their own local level, if it may be just that. Whether it be the Miami PD, the NYPD, or the LAPD, those cops, like dogs, learn to recognize who the master is. I didn't say dogs to be derogatory. I meant literally, like a dog. A dog understands who its master is. A dog understands a certain chain of command. A dog understands these things. A dog understands to go sniff out and find the drugs. It doesn't stop. And a dog, like a top Western or Eastern scientist, for that matter, working on a new biological weapon or something horrendously sick or some new DARPA weapon, they're taking orders. They're taking orders. And what makes it similar between the dog and the scientist is that within their mind, they're not meant to think or bring in some form of morality. I think we all kind of have this collective belief that dogs just kind of, they're easier to control than humans. That's why we have, and easier to use to go sniff things out than humans. That's why we have dogs do certain jobs. Well, scientists, though, are still human beings. So they should still have the moral, so you would think, consciousness to think, do I really want to create this technology and unleash it upon the world? Because whether you've been living in or underneath a rock or not, over the course of the past couple of years or not, let me give you a brief update. We could become extinct in the next 25 years. And by the way, I am ready to die. That's why I say the things I say on this program, and I care not about HR 6166 personally in my life, because I'm ready to die. I have no future. Young people in this country don't have a solid future waiting for them, and they know that. And I know it all too well. My intent and my interest is learning about where in our society the breaks in the dam are having in terms of people, A, learning, most of all, not just to fight the new world order, but learn what it means to be a human being, which is what I've talked about the last 20 minutes. What does it mean to be a human being without all these different elements of slavery attached to it? What is the solution? How do we connect? I'll get into this in the next segment. With that energy, whether you call it chi, ki, prana, the Christ-like energy that really is a part of every one of our beings, whatever color you are. I'll talk more into that in the next segment. How do we keep in contact with that focus and disregard the illusion? The same illusion that is presented to us from all the different messages, whether it be through the TV, the radio, or those around us, or the papers. The illusion purported to be reality is truly the fallacy. And we are seeing that more and more and more. It is about what does it mean to be a human being? How does a man prevent being metaphorically castrated? When the government can come into his home, take his wife, come into his home, take his home, enter his home, take his car, give him an audit based upon an illegal tax system that doesn't even exist. How then are we free? These are the questions I raise to the fake skeptics that claim that this is a democracy. Well, every now and then there's a show I do, or I definitely feel like doing 2 hours because I just basically feel like I'm just getting started with this issue. But in the meantime, since this is the top of the hour, I'm now going to go to Davey in Texas and, of course, pick up on some of these issues tomorrow. Hello, Davey.
Hey, how you doing, Alex?
Well, I'm doing pretty good today. How are you?
All right, man. Hey, did you see that movie, V?
V for Vendetta.
Yeah, did you see
that? That is a very interesting film, yeah.
Well, I saw
one of the interesting quotes of that was, it cannot destroy an idea because an idea is bulletproof.
Well, you know, another thing is there's nothing more powerful than time, you know, when an idea has come into its time.
Yes, absolutely.
I saw on the internet today there were some pictures in Washington where people dressed up like that guy in V and went out there in Washington.
That was very interesting. I saw that as well. I think and I hope, Davey, that we're going to see more things like that. Because that's very creative, even though it came from the film. For those that did not see the film, to see the theatrics, it's going to definitely bring more attention to it. And, of course, the press.
Well, Alex, how about if you get a word, you know, started that gets into the lexicon? Alex Ansari enters it into the lexicon. Neocon obvious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that's what V is about, really, is the neocon obviousness of what's going on. And every day, everybody just avoids the elephant in the middle of the room. But the flip side of that really is, you know, to put it in the vernacular, it's American people basically just shooting a finger to God. It's just a height of stupidity.
Well, look, the film's okay. You know, there's things I wanted to see in the film that wasn't in the film. I must say, just because you just brought it up, I would have liked to see more, other than the fact that he used terrorism to fight back against the government. I didn't feel that, so my heart wasn't really in it when I saw it, because I saw how limited the film was framed. And I'm also kind of sad to see people within that bracketed area. But I just want to bring that up,
yeah.
that it did placate to people that only understand violence and blowing up buildings. And that is also very telling. And
yeah.
This is also a movie from Corporation Warner Brothers. Also an important note. It's not an independent film.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, you sound like the kind of guy that likes to look at things a little different than everybody, you know, the rest of the herd. Have you ever checked out Matthew chapter 13?
It's trying to recall.
The parable of the wheat and the tares.
Yeah.
You know what stuns me is how often people try to avoid what, you know, looking at what Jesus actually said. You know, as opposed to what some, you know, skillet licking hog jowl TV preacher.
What do you think that is, Davey, before we're about to end here in a sec? But what, why do you think they do that?
Well, because it just makes it too simple. You know, and people want everything to be complicated, you know, but like the complicated
they may have to adopt some responsibility in humanity. If they were to accept the truth about what Jesus was saying, they may have to really look at themselves, I would think.
Yeah, and, you know, they'd be self-introspective in looking. You know, they had to be honest with themselves. That's what stunned me about Joe Bannister of the IRS. He said, well, he just couldn't lie to his boys, you know. And, I mean, you know, people have got to examine, you know, who's being honest, who's telling the truth. And these neocons, you know, you can't get more full-fruited than that.
That's true, Davey. Davey, thanks for calling.
Hey, great show, Alex.
Thank you. Being back tomorrow, bright and early, 10 a.m. Pacific time, 1 p.m. Central Standard, right here on the Republic Casting Network. See you then.